And welcome to Boopity Boppity Magic Hour. My name is Sarah, and I'm here with my little sister, Abby.
Hey guys, we're huge Disney fanatics and want to share our love of all things Disney with you, our listeners.
We realize that there are already lots of podcasts on how to plan a Disney trip and people's opinions on rides, resorts, and restaurants. But we're here to offer something different by discussing special facts, secrets, and theories that surround Disney entertainment.
You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Stay up to date on our blog posts at www.bippityboppityMagicHour.wordpress.com and download our podcast, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. Before we get into this week's news, we're going to start today's episode with a little joke. Sarah.
Hi, Abby.
Why was Tigger in the toilet?
I don't know. Why?
Yes, you do.
I do.
Because he was looking for poo. I've also told that joke before.
Yeah.
But I felt that, so first of all, I'm starting to run out of new jokes. And it was time to repeat one of them. And also, our joke has to do with our episode today, so it was a perfect opportunity to repeat.
Yep.
Also,
Christopher Robin just came out.
Another fun fact. Today, the day we're recording, Thursday, August 16th, is National Tell-A-Joke Day. So,
well, you just did a wonderful job celebrating.
Thank you.
Alright, you ready for some news?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Great Irish Hooli is returning to Raglan Road, which is in Disney Springs, over Labor Day weekend.
Ooh.
And they've been doing this for 7 years now. This year's the 7th year. And it's a high-voltage Irish music festival that will serve up a colorful live playlist of traditional Irish, Celt, grass, folk, blues, and soul, both inside and outside the pub.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I want to go.
There's no cover charge. They go into the wee hours.
I have a 3.5-day weekend, that's all I'm saying.
Do you have $300 to fly to and from Orlando?
We could drive. We could do it. We'll just drive straight after work on the half day. And we'll get there, and then we'll go to a park for 2 days, and we'll drive straight back.
Yeah.
20 hours of driving, both ways, let's go.
So yeah, there's a bunch of people lined up who are going to be performing. It's all, I mean, like, Irish bands and stuff, so no like, really big names, unless you're really into Irish music. Then you'd probably recognize some of these people, but yeah, and I think they have, like, special food items, too. I don't see anything about that, but, I mean, they do have food at Raglan Road, so you can always get pub fare there.
It's good food. I really like their Irish soda bread.
It's been a long time, because last time I went, you guys went the day that Nate and I were flying in, so we didn't get to go.
So, what happened last time, if you listened to our episodes 2 years ago now, is that I flew in with Mom and Dad in the morning, and we checked in to the resort, and then went grocery shopping, and then we went out for dinner at Raglan Road, and then Sarah and Nate didn't get in until, like, 11 that night. And then Elliot didn't even get in until the next day. No, because I was up when you guys got back, and I wouldn't have stayed up until 1 in the morning.
I don't think you were up. I think you woke up.
I don't know.
We didn't get to the hotel until after midnight, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah. It was after midnight.
I remember you guys getting in around 11.
Well, you're wrong, Abby. Okay, let's move on to the next item, which is Vampirina who is a young vampire-like girl, has moved from, has moved from Transylvania and is now attending school in the human world, and she will soon be making appearances at Walt Disney World Resort. Her name, or I guess her nickname is V, like V-E-E, and she will join Breakfast at Hollywood and Vine's Disney Junior Play and Dine as of September 30th. Later in the fall, Vampirina will be a part of the character meet and greets in Disney's Hollywood Studios Animation Courtyard. And when the new Disney Junior Dance Party opens in that theme park, she'll be a part of that show as well.
Fun.
Yeah. She's pretty cute. I hadn't seen a picture of her until now.
Oh, yeah. She's got little bat pigtails.
Yeah, and purple eyes. So that's cool. Welcome, Vampirina. I'm sure lots of young little girls will be excited.
Yeah.
Ooh, Chicken Guy, which we talked about last time,
yeah,
is now open at Disney Springs. So if you missed our last episode, we had announced that this new, I think it's like a, it's a quick service, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's a fast casual chain. And it's a collaboration between celebrity chef and TV personality Guy Fieri and Robert Earl, who is just like a big name in the restaurant world. And so it opened a couple weeks ago. They primarily serve chicken tenders, and they've got more than 20 types of sauces.
Mm.
It sounds delicious.
Delicious?
Yes.
Is that better than delicious?
It's the same. It's like the same level of goodness.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not gonna say it.
Okay. Ooh, you can make yourself into a Dia de Muertos skeleton at Epcot's Mexico Pavilion.
That's cool, but I don't really want to be a dead person yet.
So, yeah, it's a new hands-on activity, and it's part of the Remember Me La Celebración del Dia de Muertos exhibit in the Pavilion's gallery, which is, like, right when you walk inside. The new Mirror de los Muertos allows you to turn yourself into a Day of the Dead skeleton-like creature, just like those featured in Disney Pixar's film Coco. I wonder if it costs extra. Oh, you don't actually do it. It's, like, on a screen. Yeah, so you tap your magic band to, like, the screen or whatever, and it will... the mirror, which is like the screen, will take your photo, and then it will give you a basic skeleton face, and then you can customize it with accessories, hairstyles, facial paint, and more. Including lipstick.
I haven't seen Coco since we saw it in theaters.
I've seen it a few times, actually. I really like that movie. The animation is just, like, amazing.
Maybe I'll make Will watch it with me one night when he's here.
Mm-hmm.
4 weeks. Actually, 3 weeks and 6 days now. Excited.
So, if you've been to Disney Springs in the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years, they've had food trucks in this little area of Disney Springs. Well, now, Disneyland, well, Downtown Disney and Disneyland is bringing food trucks. They debuted just a couple weeks ago, and they welcomed 3 food trucks, and it's in the area close by where they're constructing a new hotel. So it kind of, entertains people, I guess, while they're doing all that. I'm looking to see... Oh, yeah. So the 3 food trucks are Brew Wings, which features wings and other unique pub-style food, like beer-battered chicken tenders, loaded tots, waffles, and Brew Wings specialties, the Kickin' Chicken Sandwich, and Kickin' Chicken Tots. Okay, the Kickin' Chicken Tots sounds right up my alley.
Tots with chicken that's kickin'.
Yeah. There's also the Habit Burger Grill, which has burgers and sandwiches.
Is it Habit as in H-A-B-I-T?
Yes.
Okay, not like a nun's habit?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the third
is... I'm going to be really entertaining now.
It'd be interesting. The third food truck is After's Ice Cream, known for its handcrafted ice cream and signature flavors like milk and cereal, Cookie Monster, and jasmine milk tea, as well as its trademark milky bun, a glazed bun with ice cream stuffed in between, sealed back up, and heated. That sounds also delicious.
Can you say that a little bit slower?
Why, you wanna salivate some?
I wanna hear it again, because...
Okay.
You went through it so fast, I didn't hear it all.
So, it's the trademark milky bun, a glazed bun with ice cream stuffed in between, sealed back up, and heated.
Yum.
It's like an ice
like
cream
a backwards
panini.
It's like a backwards lava cake. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
We got the cold part in the middle.
Excuse me. On the same lines, there is another food truck that is coming to Disney Springs. It's called 4R Cantina Barbacoa. And so, I mean, it sounds like kind of a barbecue-y, Mexican-y type food truck. And
it sounds like it has two names. Why didn't they just pick one?
I don't know. They've got a taco cone.
Ooh.
There's the taco cone.
Ooh.
The taco cone looks pretty good.
I think it was like 6 years ago yesterday, I got a notification on Snapchat about a youth group activity where we made bacon tacos. Which basically you make a bacon shell, and then you put the taco meat inside of it. Mm. Oh, it was good. I remember that night. It was good food. We also had chocolate-covered bacon.
See, I've had chocolate-covered bacon, and it was good, but people were going crazy over it when, like, whoever realized that they
bacon's
could go together.
Yeah. Bacon's a thing.
But I've had it. And, I mean,
I think it's okay. They also had, like, maple-covered bacon with, like, a maple glaze on it.
I'm weird.
That was pretty good.
And I don't really like it when, like, my syrup and bacon mix.
I think it's really good.
Most people do. I'm weird.
Well,
Abby doesn't like it when her fruit touches other fruit.
No, I don't like fruit salad. And we won't go into that.
I just discovered this, like, this last weekend, so I'm gonna rub it in whenever I can.
I have a perfectly logical explanation.
Mm-hmm. Alright, let's move on. The Halloween fun is, wow, it's already begun at the Magic Kingdom for Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. So they've already started happening. This year, there will be additional experiences to make the evening even more special, like new lighting and effects on the Mad Tea Party, and interactive pirates on Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, I really want to do that. That's so cool. Special Halloween goodies and merchandise will also be available, of course. That's so cool.
Interactive pirates.
Yeah. Let's see. Aw, okay, this is really cute. Mickey Mouse and Pals can send kids to Dreamland with free goodnight message. So now through the end of August, parents can have their kids call 1-877-7 and then M-I-C-K-E-Y and then you follow the prompts to receive a special goodnight message from Mickey Mouse or one of his pals. So the choices are Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, or Goofy. The whole call takes about 1.5 minutes, and it's toll-free and available in both the U.S. and Canada. Okay, we might be calling that number tonight just for fun.
Yeah.
That's so cute! Aww. I like how it's available. At first, I thought it was something that only the resorts were offering. And even then, I was like, oh, that's really cute. But no, anyone can call that number.
I like that a lot.
I want Mickey to tell me goodnight. Ooh. This is interesting. Okay, so we've already announced this, but there's going to be a Tron roller coaster in the Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom in the Tomorrowland area. And they've already started construction. But apparently, it's caused some ride disruptions of several existing attractions. Both the Walt Disney World Railroad and the Tomorrowland Speedway will close temporarily during the work. The attraction is set to debut in time for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary in 2021. Wait, so does that mean the Tomorrowland Speedway is closed until 2021?
I have no idea.
That's kind of crazy. And the railroad. People love the railroad.
I doubt that it's closed for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. Well, maybe we'll find out when we go, just to check it out. We don't typically ride either of those, but we'll check it out. So there's a new Dooney and Burke design.
Mm.
Oh, it's really cute. It's like different designs of mouse ears.
Oh, yeah. It's got like different characters like Snow White and Ariel. Is that all the princesses or is it more than princesses?
It kind of looks like just princesses.
I see like
Tiana,
it.
I see Aurora, Cinderella. Yeah, I think it is just princesses.
It's cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
Someday I want a Dooney and Burke Disney bag.
I'm gonna save up for one.
And also Disney Toms.
Yeah, the Disney Toms have just released. Well, they've been out for a little while now. But they first came out with Cinderella, right?
And then now they have Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, now they've got Aurora. And then Snow White is next.
Cinderella's one has really cute, like, concept art on one of the shoes that I'm literally obsessed with. And I really wish that Tom's weren't $70 for one pair of shoes that lasts a year and a half.
They're kind of expensive for what they are, but it's a good
charity. I understand it's a good cause, but it's just frustrating when I can buy a shoe that's literally the same shoe for $5 and it lasts just as long.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I get it.
I'd rather just buy an extra pair of that $5 shoe and send it.
I think they spend more. I mean, they send, like, high-quality shoes over there.
They send Toms, don't they?
No.
Oh.
They send, like, for-real tennis shoes.
Oh, okay.
Like, ones that have really good soles. Have you seen those shoes? I don't think Toms has been doing this, but have you seen those shoes that you can, like, adjust the size on them?
No.
They're really cool, because, like...
pregnant people?
Well, kids, too, because they grow so fast. So they can adjust the size and make them bigger as they grow, which is really cool. Okay, so the Tangaroa Terrace restaurant at the Disneyland Hotel is being closed for refurbishment beginning September 4th and is expected to reopen mid-January of next year. So it looks like, you will still have some menu offerings at Trader Sam's, Enchanted Tiki Bar, and then the Coffee House. But that's not too long of a refurbishment for Disney. Let's see. Sebastian's Bistro, which is at the Caribbean Beach Resort, is going to replace Shutters. And so they've been undergoing renovation to common areas and restaurants in the old Port Royal area in the Caribbean Beach Resort. And so the Shutters Table Service Restaurant will reopen as the all-new Sebastian's Bistro. So that's what it is. It's not replacing, like, Shutters on the outside. It's just being renamed.
Mm.
In addition, Centertown Market, the resort's quick service location, is getting a facelift and being expanded to create an indoor street market feeling. That sounds cool.
Indoor street markets are cool.
I think that's all I got. The only other thing is, if you're a member of Tables in Wonderland, there's additional dates for the Contemporary Resort Chef's Table Experience. So the original dates had already sold out, but they open up two dates. One is October 18th, and the other is December 6th. Hey, we're going to be there on December 6th.
Cool!
You got really excited.
Yeah.
But we won't be doing that.
I'm so excited for Disney.
Me too.
Time's going by too fast.
We're almost in the double digits of our countdown.
I know, and it's gonna go by so fast. We have so much to do before we go.
Yeah, we've got 3.5 weeks. Or months, sorry.
I was like, no, that's not right.
Is it Friday yet? Alright, well, we're going to finish up our new segment now, and we will see you on the other side for our episode. Some computer updates. So, hey, maybe we sound better now.
I hope so.
Alright, well, we are going to get right into our episode, and today we are going to be doing an attraction spotlight.
Yes.
Abby, do you want to tell them what the attraction spotlight is going to be on today?
Well, if you guessed it from my joke hint earlier, it's The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh!
Woohoo! So, I think we're going to start off first with where this ride is located. And it's actually in 4 different Disney parks, which is kind of a lot for a ride. I think there's only, one ride that's in every park, and I think it's a Small World.
I thought Peter Pan might be too.
I don't think Peter Pan's in all of them. I don't remember. I think there's only one ride that is in all of the parks, but this isn't one. But it's in 4, which is...
It's pretty good
almost
amount.
Yeah, it's 4 out of 6, so... Alright, so it's in Disney World, and inside of Disney World, it's in Fantasyland. The ride was opened on June 4th, 1999, and it replaced Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
It is in Disneyland in Critter Club. Critter Country. I wanted to say Critter Country.
Yeah.
It opened April 11th, 2003 and replaced Country Bear Jamboree.
It is also in Hong Kong Disneyland in the Fantasyland section, and it was opened on September 12th, 2005 and it did not replace anything.
It also did not replace anything in Shanghai Disneyland Park in the Fantasyland area. When it opened June 16th, 2016.
Woohoo! Alright, so we're gonna get into some just general statistics. Do you want me to just go through these?
Sure.
Okay. So, the attraction type, it's a dark ride. The vehicle type are honeypots or beehives, depending on which park you're in. In Disney World, it's honeypots. It takes 3 minutes and 15 seconds to get through the ride. It was directed by Greg Smith, produced by Paul Winsell. The theme is by Danny Elfman, and it was written by Bobby Cook, music by Carl Johnson, casting by Lisa Schaefer, and voice director is Jamie Thomason. And I believe the voices are all the voices who, like, voiced it for the Winnie the Pooh,
Movie,
yeah.
The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. And like we said, it's a dark ride, and it's based on the film with the same name, which is itself based on the Winnie the Pooh books by A.A. Milne, who, if you know the quote, they use it in Kung Fu Panda, which is not a Disney movie.
But we still love
but,
it.
But, yes. The really famous quote, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. That's by A.A. Milne for you book lovers out there. The attraction exists in different forms at all the different places that we just mentioned in the Disney resorts. And Pooh's Hungry Hunt, located in Tokyo Disneyland, is an entirely different e-ticket class attraction, which features full audio animatronics and a ride system that actually doesn't have a track that you can see. So it's programmed in the car.
Which is cool.
Yeah, we like that.
Alright, so we're going to get into some history of the ride, which I think is super interesting. So, first we'll talk about the original proposal for the ride, which actually came about in, the idea came about in the late 1970s. So Disney Imagineers kind of came up with the idea because the Disney film adaptation of Winnie the Pooh was so popular. So they were kind of, obviously Walt Disney World didn't open until 1971, so they were kind of thinking of putting it in Disneyland, and they had just renovated Fantasyland. But in 1983, when Fantasyland had reopened, the Winnie the Pooh attraction that everyone was kind of thinking that was going to be there was notably absent.
Sad.
Yeah.
And then there was a... Following the film, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, plans were made for a new section in the park located behind the Fantasyland called Mickey's Toontown. And this is the part of the park which would create cartoon characters that were seen in the film. One of the rides that would have gone on the east side of this area was Winnie the Pooh, where guests would ride in spinnable honey pots, kind of like the teacup ride. That's in Fantasyland and Disney World now. And they were supposed to spin through what was conceptualized as the best scenes from the three Winnie the Pooh featurettes. The ride fell through before it could be made, though, and the space that this ride was to have taken up and vehicle design of this ride were worked into Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin. Cartoon is two words.
Yeah. I don't think it's supposed to.
I think it is.
Maybe.
If it's in cars.
Yeah.
Roger Rabbit
yeah.
drives a red car.
Well, 7 years later, during a period when Winnie the Pooh was kind of undergoing another surge in popularity, the plans were discussed for a Winnie the Pooh attraction again, and this time they were actually approved at a different park, which is the Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Planners had then decided to utilize an existing structure instead of building the ride area, you know, from the ground up. And so the ride they decided to replace was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
The ride in general remained the same as Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in the track. But in the Fantasyland expansion, when they redid it to be Winnie the Pooh, they redid the queue so it resembles the 100-acre wood. And now this is called Pooh's Interactive Queue, and it incorporates a playground with games for kids, and it just allows you to have more fun than just standing in a line.
Yeah, there are these like screens that are heat sensitized or whatever. So like if you put your hand up, it like moves the honey, like it looks like there's honey just like flowing down, and it like moves. You can like move it and like write things in the honey, and then it'll flow down after the heat goes away. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to Disneyland. An original plan from the mid-1990s placed an outdoor and indoor light boat ride featuring a Winnie the Pooh theme at Disneyland. So this was like, I guess before they had decided, I don't know. 7 years later. I don't know. So this ride that they were planning on putting in Disneyland was basically going to be completely different from the one that they did in Disney World. But those plans were shelved and a new dark ride was planned. So Disneyland is the only resort of all six Disney resorts to basically have no room to expand because they're like in the middle of the city. So the solution was to open the Winnie the Pooh ride in the park, and by utilizing a current attraction, and replacing it with Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. Fantasyland was ruled out because it contained the fewest amount of available space, and also because the age of its buildings. The park managers at the time anticipated that the attraction would be really popular, and so they decided to put it in an area that would better handle the crowds. Critter Country, which is that land, is a small area between New Orleans Square and Frontierland, and since Winnie the Pooh already had his, at this time, Winnie the Pooh already had his own greeting area in that land too, so it was a perfect place to put the ride. The area already featured two popular attractions, Splash Mountain and Country Bear Jamboree, and the latter one was the one that they renovated to become Winnie the Pooh's ride.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like Abby just said, Imagineers chose to replace Country Bear Jamboree with the Winnie the Pooh ride due to the lack of popularity of the Country Bears. So this required a major excavation for the space and leveling for the ride because, it, I mean, it's a completely different concept. So when news of the former attraction's demise was, you know, sent out, a lot of people were really upset about it, mainly because it was another classic attraction that Disney was changing, and so they were trying to change the Imagineers' minds and, you know, try to convince them to keep it, but management decided to continue as planned. But as a tribute to the Country Bears Jamboree, they kept the heads of Max the Deer, Melvin the Moose, and Buff the Buffalo. They're actually mounted in one of the walls inside the ride.
Mm-hmm. Originally, the budget for Winnie the Pooh was reported to be $30 million, and most of it went to dedicating, or most of it was dedicated to reformatting the show building so that it could be a ride. When it finally opened in 2003, it received a lot of promotions by park management, and the lines were really long at the beginning, but they quickly dropped off to be normal.
The turnover rate with guests was actually kind of low compared to older dark rides in Fantasyland, and it had shorter wait times than other comparable Fantasyland attractions, which isn't what Disney wants, even on busy days. Excuse me. So those people that were critical of the ride point to the shorter wait times as evidence that the ride was not as well liked as other older rides that Disney had replaced.
But that's not the only complaint that the ride has gotten. Apparently, some people thought it was created to funnel guests into a major gift shop, which we think is really ingenious. But some people don't like that, but there are people who do and claim that the discrepancy in wait times is due solely to the ride's out-of-the-way placement. So it's just because it's not in a popular area of the park that it's not getting as long wait times. In either case, out of the four different versions that this attraction has in all the different Disney parks, this one is considered the least popular.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely get that impression from Disney World. I don't know about Disneyland because we've never gone, but it does have shorter wait times, and like it does have a faster loading queue, but still, yeah, it's always like 15 or 20 minutes.
But we always go right in the morning because
even throughout the day though, it's got shorter times.
I remember it being longer than that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna actually jump over to Hong Kong Disneyland, which opened in September 2005, along with its opening of the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh ride. It was actually the only dark ride in Fantasyland at the time. The only other dark rides in the park are Buzz Lightyear, Astro Blasters, and Mystic Manor. So, being that it was the only dark ride in Hong Kong Fantasyland, that changed when It's a Small World opened in 2008 in the Hong Kong Disneyland Park. So this version of The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh is actually the most similar to the first version at Disney World's Magic Kingdom, and it remains one of the most visited attractions in Fantasyland, and it actually frequently runs out of fast passes and has wait times over 120 minutes on the most attended days, which is kind of like how older rides at like Disney World and Disneyland are. So that, I mean, that makes sense. It was one of the originals.
Yeah. Shanghai Disneyland, on the other hand, has the newest Winnie the Pooh ride, and although it's similar to all the other,
find Pooh flying.
He's just flying around because the wind picked him up.
Yeah, he's flying.
Yeah, and then the honeypots move into the final scene, where everyone except Pooh is celebrating that the rain has gone away. Piglet has sculpted a figure with movement, and Tigger, Rabbit, and Eeyore, Owl, Kanga, and Roo are illustrations on the wall behind. The vehicles move past Pooh, who's mysteriously away from the celebration table because he's enjoying a load of honey, and then go past the page that reads the end before going back into the loading area.
And into a gift shop.
But I thought that was a little bit different. I thought at the end, nope, that's all right. Pooh's in the tree and you see Pooh.
You see him. And you have to actually look up and backwards while leaving the Heffalump and Woozle scene. So the heads, which were once believed to have been taken from the theater, from Theater 2 of the Country Bear Playhouse, are actually the static slash non-animatronic, so they never moved, ones that the mile-long bar that once was across the playhouse was.
Mm-hmm. The vehicles enter the start of the final scene, where Pooh is enjoying a smackerel of honey. That's what Pooh says.
Yes.
And the Heffalumps can be seen flying off into Pooh's dreamland, prior to several of Pooh's friends telling him to wake up. That is very different. And moving on from this point in the ride, it goes to Pooh's bed before going to show Pooh's friends, this time all sculpted figurines with movement, celebrating his birthday. Like the GIF.
Yeah.
As the vehicles move to the load area, several of the gifts Pooh received for his party are shown and are moved back as the vehicles continue until they finally reach the load area.
I like that ending, but I feel like the flow of the other three rides makes more sense.
Yeah, but that's just because we grew up with it.
Maybe. Alright, so now we just have some extra secrets and fun facts to share. So some of these we probably have already mentioned during the history and ride through portion, but we just really wanted to emphasize them because Disney just gets super into the details and we think they're cool.
Mm-hmm. So, like I mentioned earlier, you can see Owl receiving the deed from Mr. Toad. Before Winnie the Pooh, there was a ride called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and many hardcore Disney fans were really